Revelation chapter number 18 tonight. Book of the Revelation, chapter number 18. In chapter number 17, we witness the destruction of the great worldwide ecumenical religion that's going to be coming in during the tribulation period, that has its roots in ancient Babylon, and it's going to flourish in the early part of the tribulation period. And I believe that it's going to be destroyed when the abomination, the desolation, takes place in the middle of the tribulation, when Antichrist sets himself up to be worshipped. And I believe that that'll probably be about the time that he casts off a religious Babylon. He uses religious Babylon up to that point. The Antichrist does. He'll use that religion, and then he will cast it off, as we saw. And chapter number 18, understand that both chapter 17 and 18 are parenthetical chapters, okay? They're not giving us a sequential events that are taking place. They are giving us detail of things that we have already been told have taken place. If you look in chapter number 16, we were told that Babylon came in remembrance, and there in Revelation 16 and verse number 19, it says, "And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of His wrath." That's just a summary of what happened when the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. Okay? So we're talking about, this is right toward the end. I believe it's just at the same time of what we're going to be taking a look at in chapter number 19. We saw how the Armageddon is already being gathered in chapter number 16, and verse number 16. And we see that that will take place in chapter number 19. And I believe when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, He will destroy the city of Babylon. He's going to destroy this commercial and political Babylon. But in chapter 18, we witness this fall of another Babylon, the commercial and political Babylon. And we know that it's different than the one that we looked at last week because of the first phrase found in verse number 1. Notice in verse number 1, Revelation 18, verse number 1 says, "And after these things," after what things? It's after what happens in chapter number 17. It's after the destruction of religious Babylon. And so after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. It says, "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. The merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." And I heard another voice come from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works, and the cup which she hath filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judged her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, as standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. the merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and of pearls, and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and of iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. All things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee. Thou shalt find them no more. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, and purple, and scarlet, and decked with gold, and precious stones, and pearls. For in 1 hour, so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein we were made rich, all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all. And thee, and no craftsman, whatsoever craft he may be, shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. So I believe that the scripture here shows that in the days of the tribulation period, men are going to build an economic and political empire never equaled in the world. I believe it's going to be the result of what the Antichrist does. I believe that he will rebuild Babylon. It won't take, we think, well, you know, tribulation's only 7 years long. How's he going to do that? In the day and time which we live, don't take long. It could be built, and we see just as Babel was built in rebellion against God in Genesis chapter 11, Babylon, I believe, will also be built in rebellion against him also, and there will be astounding wealth and affluence. And however, we're going to see that it's going to come to a violent end. And in chapter 17, we saw the Babylonian religious system fall, but here we see both the Babylonian system and the city called Babylon that epitomizes that system. God Himself is going to judge their wickedness, and we're going to see God here as we look at this in detail, put forth a demonstration of His great power, and we'll see four groups react to what the Lord has done unto Babylon. First of all, we see the announcement of the fall of Babylon. The heavenly communicator comes in verse number 1. This angel that comes, it says that he has great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. The angel there, what a contrast we see when compared to Babylon in verses number 2 and verse number 3. I mean, this angel, the great power was lightened with the glory of God there. What majesty we see. But we see the darkness of Babylon. Look at Babylon's corruption there in verse number 2 and 3. It says, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now, I want you to understand that ancient Babylon was the home of soothsayers, magicians, seers, Remember in the times of King Nebuchadnezzar, who reigned over Babylon back in Daniel's day? We're told a little bit about Babylon during that day. In Daniel chapter number 2 and verse number 2, it's recorded that King Nebuchadnezzar commanded, it says that then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. Remember how he had dreamed the dream and he was looking for somebody to interpret the dream. Well, he calls all these folks to interpret the dream, and Daniel was the only one. Daniel was a spokesman for God. Daniel was the only one able to tell him the dream and the interpretation of the dream. And that Daniel actually saved the lives of these other creatures. They were a bunch of dirty birds. You know, they didn't know what they were doing. They were after the devil. But Daniel was after God. And Daniel freely said, "Hey, look, I can't tell you anything, but I do know somebody in heaven who can. I've got a God in heaven who can, King Nebuchadnezzar." And of course, he was able to come up with that. But we see demonism. This city will be filled with evil and will be infested with demons. It's the habitation of devils is what it says there. And, could this be a glimpse at the way modern government is empowered? I believe so. I believe what we're seeing in the governments, not only in our own government, but all across the world, we see wickedness and vileness in the high places. What is it? Well, I believe it's what Paul spoke of, in Ephesians chapter number 6, when he says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." I believe that he was looking to perhaps some of the governments that were empowered by devils. And we see here, not only does it mention demonism, but it mentions drunkenness. It calls the whole world to be drunk. We're not talking about drunk off of liquor, or drunk off of intoxicating beverage, but that's not the only thing you can get drunk off of. Some folks are drunk with the TV. They are. I mean, some folks get drunk with all kinds of different things. Anything that causes you to lose your focus. Look at verse number 3. It says, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." Now, we need to see that the entire world is going to be smitten by the charms of Babylon during this day. They're made drunk by her allurements. The world is held captive under her intoxicating spell. She offers them an immorality and sin without fear of religious oppression. And I believe that this speaks of a time of unbridled wickedness and lustful abandon, that people are just going to have their way. And, and the powers that be will be in Babylon, and they're going to say, "Hey, it's okay. Just be as wicked as you want to. Everything goes. Anything goes." But listen, God is going to deal with them. Then we see not only Babylon's corruption, but we see Babylon's condition there in verses 4 through 8. First of all, verse 4, there's a call to God's people to separate. There in verse 4 it says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." And no doubt in this city, according to this verse of Scripture, there are going to be some of God's people, some folks that got saved during the tribulation period that we'd be living in the city. And just like Lot was called out of Sodom and Gomorrah, he and his family were called to, "You come out, because the angels are fixing to destroy, God's fixing to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and you need to get out." God is giving a warning here prior to his destruction of Babylon, giving a warning to his people to get out. And so we see also in Genesis chapter 11, Babel's tower did not reach heaven. But I want you to notice here in verse number 5, this Babel's sin has. Her sins have reached heaven. The tower that they tried to build did not reach heaven, but her sins reached heaven. Look at verse 5. It says, "For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." Listen, God is patient, and God is long-suffering, but even God has His limits. Amen? Even God has His limits. And if repentance does not come, then judgment must eventually come. And there wasn't going to be no repentance from this Babylon, and so it must be judged. And God, that's why God brought the judgment on Babylon. And not only did he bring judgment, but he gave her double payment there in verse 6. Double payment is required for her sins. But it says in verse 6, reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works, and the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. And so we know that ancient Babylon was notorious for its atrocities against God, the people of God. And I want you to understand that this is not only the eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth judgment under the law of God, but here we see doubled in recognition of the enormity of the sin of Babylon. Hold your place there in Revelation. Turn with me to Psalm 137. And Psalm 137 was written during the time the people of God were under Babylonian captivity. It's not a Psalm of David, but we're not told who wrote the Psalm, but it is a Psalm that is in this collection of Psalms. And it speaks of the time when they were in Babylonian captivity. And let's look at Psalm 137 and verse number 1. Psalm 137 and verse number 1 says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. Some folks believe that Daniel was the one that wrote this. We know that Daniel was a man of God. It could have been Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego. Those were men of God too, the Hebrew children. But many folks believe that this was possibly written by Daniel. He talks about being by the rivers of Babylon and sitting down and weeping there, remembering Zion or remembering Jerusalem, remembering the homeland. He says, we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they carried us away captive, required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Listen to me. This would be like somebody capturing us, taking us captive, us, the people of God, coming in here and taking us by gunpoint and taking us off to an undisclosed location and say, why don't y'all sing Amazing Grace now? That's basically what we're reading about here. You know, like come on, let's hear that Amazing Grace. I really want to hear y'all sing that tune now. They were mocking the people of God is what they were doing. And in verse number 4, the people of God said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. And that word raise means to tear it down. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed? See, even this writer here understood that Babylon one day was going to be destroyed. And I'll show you here in a little bit why I believe it was Daniel, because Jeremiah was the one that prophesied to the folks prior to the Babylonian invasion, prior to the Babylonian captivity. He told them what was going to happen, but he prophesied of the destruction of Babylon. But I'm getting ahead of myself. He says here, O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. He's talking about this angel that we're reading about in the book of Revelation, the one that's going to bring it on double. Okay? It's looking forward to this time. It said, happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. So we see that God's going to require double payment. Double payment's required for her sins. Back in Revelation, chapter number 18, I want you to notice verse number 7. We see that pride has filled her, and she defiantly believes that she shall see no punishment. Notice that in verse 7. It says, how much she hath glorified herself. Did you get that? She glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. In other words, the attitude is, ain't nothing going to happen to me. I'm great Babylon. We're the great city. This is the great city Babylon, and nothing's going to happen to us. But pride here we see has filled her. And she defiantly believes that she's not going to see any punishment. But judgment will fall, and it's going to fall swiftly, according to verse number 8. It says, therefore shall her plagues come, notice this, in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And she's going to be judged in one day. In one day it's all going to be over. I don't know how long it's going to take to build it, how much time has been put in to building this city, and what has gone into it. But I can tell you, it's not going to take God very long to bring it down. Her desolation is going to come in a single day. God is powerful, and He will dispense His justice swiftly. So we see the announcement of the fall of Babylon. Now we see the attitudes toward the fall of Babylon in verses 9 through 20. We see here that there are four groups who react to the fall of the city. The first ones that we see are the monarchs, the kings of the earth who live deliciously off of her. I believe it's the kings that have given themselves over to the Antichrist, you know, and they've looked to Babylon, which I believe is going to be the city of the Antichrist. There'll be a city that he will have built up, and they'll look to him. But we see that the monarchs are mentioned in verse number 9 and 10. It says, and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. You don't see anybody here coming to her aid, do you? You know, they're all afraid. Why are they afraid? Because it's very evident that God is judging this city. Very evident that, hey, the what's happening there is of God, and you don't want any part of it. They're standing afar off, they look at this happening. Then we see not only the monarchs, but we see in verses 11 through 16 the merchants. And I'm not going to read all of this, but we read, look at verse number 11. It says, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. Now, I'm not going to read verses 12, 13, and 14 that talks about, 12 and 13 anyway, that talk about the merchandise. But if you notice in that list there of merchandise, these merchants are weeping for all the money and the business that they have lost. All the items, it's mentioned from the gold is mentioned first, and the very last thing that is mentioned is the souls of men. Isn't that the way it is with the world? You know? That's the way it is. It depends on where your treasure is. Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Listen, our treasure ought to be the souls of men, hadn't it? Trying to see the souls of men get to go to heaven. But here we see the souls of men mentioned last, the merchandise mentioned first. There in verse number 14, it says, and the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things that which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them, I want you to notice, no more. I'm getting ahead of myself again, but I want you to notice two things about no more. There in verse number 11, nobody's going to buy their merchandise anymore. No more. It's not going to happen. They're in verse number 14. They're not going to be able to find them no more at all. The things that they lusted after, the things that were so good that they departed, and they're not going to have them anymore. Now we see there in verse 15, it says, the merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment. Again, we saw the monarchs not wanting to get close. Here we see the merchants not wanting to get close, because it's very evident there's no help to be given to Babylon. There's no way that you're going to go in there and rescue anybody. God has spoken. God has brought the judgment. And you might as well just stand afar off and stand in fear of the torment that you see. And they're going to stand, and they're going to say there in verse 16, saying, alas, alas, that great city, that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. And so we see here that I want you to think about modern politics for a minute. You know, as we think about the treasure, the materialism that's spoken of here, people are going to be trapped by materialism, both in body and in soul. I believe that these folks are trapped by this materialism. And I think about modern politics for a minute. You know, how does a man get into office? Whoever promises the most, giveaways. You know, if a man promises prosperity and plenty, he normally has a better chance of being elected, don't he? You know, remember the old time jokes about the politicians? The politician would say, I'm going to put a chicken in every pot. Remember that? I'm going to put a chicken in every pot. Why was he going to do that? Because he knew that if he could do that, he would buy some votes. And I believe that verse 14 here is a picture of hell. It's a picture of ungratified desires. You know, here the things that they desire has departed from them, and they're not going to be able to find them anymore. That's the condition that we saw this morning of people that are in hell. That rich man that woke up in hell. He woke up there, and all the things that he was used to was gone. There was no longer there. And we see that the merchants there. So we see the monarchs, we see the merchants. Thirdly, we see in verses 17 through 19, we see the mariners, the shipmasters. There in verse number 17 says, "For in one hour so great riches is come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off." Again, this is the third group that stands afar off. Why? There ain't no help in Babylon. Babylon's being judged by God. No sense in going near. And it says there in verse 18, "And they cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads." That's a symbol of mourning. And cried, weeping and wailing, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in one hour," and here we're told it again, "in one hour's time she's going to be made desolate." Not only going to be one day, but really in one hour it's going to take place. And we see that the mariners, are going to be just like others. Men will learn too late that materialism will lead to nothing. The Bible says in Mark 8, verse 36 and 37, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And then we see the fourth group that is mentioned in verse number 20, and this is the heavenly multitude. Look at verse 20. "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her." There's going to be rejoicing in heaven over the fall of this God-hating city. God has avenged the blood and the honor of His servants. I believe that this city and the political power behind it, which is the Antichrist, is going to be responsible for the death of and the martyr of many of God's saints that come to know the Lord during the tribulation period. But really, Babylon has always had this a problem of taking and doing dishonor to the servants of God, and God's getting revenge upon her. So we see the announcement of the fall of Babylon. We see the attitudes toward the fall of Babylon. Thirdly, and lastly, we want you to see the accomplishing the fall of Babylon. There in verse number 21, it says, "And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found." And I want you to notice all these no mores, okay? We've already seen a couple of no mores, or any more, no more. But here we see and she's going to be thrown down and she'll be found no more. "And the voice of harpers and musicians and the pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all indeed. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more indeed. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. So we see here, Babylon, and all she stood for is no more. A millstone thrown in the sea, and that's a picture of complete and catastrophic judgment. Turn with me, please, to Jeremiah chapter number 5. Hold your place there in the book of Revelation. Look at Jeremiah and chapter number 51. Jeremiah chapter number 51, and I want you to see where this time was prophesied by the prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah talks here, he prophesies of a complete, total, and final judgment that would come upon Babylon. It did not come during his day, but God said it was going to come. God's been long-suffering to Babylon and the Babylonian system, and God is going to be a little more long-suffering, but there's going to come an end to that long-suffering. Here in Jeremiah chapter 51, and verse number 61 is where we want to be. There toward the end of the chapter, Jeremiah 51 and verse number 61. And it says, "And Jeremiah said to Syria, when thou comest to Babylon, and shalt see, and shalt read all these words, then shalt thou say, O Lord, thou hast spoken against this place, to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. And it shall be, when thou hast made an end of reading this book, that thou shalt bind a stone to it, cast it into the midst of Euphrates, which is a river, and thou shalt say, Thus shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her, and they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah." And so we find that time here mentioned in verses number 21 through 24. And I want you to, we see all the no mores. We looked at all the no mores there and the any mores that are mentioned. Babylon will not buy any more, according to verse number 11. All of her so-called good things will be no more, according to verse number 14. All of her music and all of her fanfare will be no more, according to verse number 22. Also, according to verse 22, all of her industry and craftsmen will be no more. And then verse 23 tells us that all appearance of habitation will be no more. And then in verse number 23 also, we're told that all weddings are going to be no more. No joy and happiness. Weddings are a symbol of joy and happiness. And there's going to be no more joy and happiness there. Babylon is representative of all the sin and murder of all time, according to verse 23 and 24 there. And judgment falls from the Lord to ultimately destroy all those who have opposed God. And the very silence of the city is going to be a testimony to God's devastating judgment. God will silence Babylon once and for all. That's it. It's going to be it. Now listen, tonight we may have questions as it relates to Babylon in the book of Revelation. And you may have some questions I have the answer for, okay? I've got some questions myself. Now, some have asked the question, is ancient Babylon, the city, going to be rebuilt? You know, are we talking about the ancient city itself, the actual city, which is today is, can't even think right now. Yes, over in Iraq. It's the capital city there. Huh? Baghdad, that's what I was trying to think of. Thank you. Drew a blank. Sometimes I do that up here. I just draw a blank. But Baghdad is the ancient city of Babylon, ancient Babel. Some believe that that city itself will be rebuilt right there. I believe that this is the case. Saddam Hussein thought that he was the one guy that was going to rebuild it. He thought he was the next Nebuchadnezzar. And when he was alive, he thought that he was going to be doing that. And he set out to do it. He set out to try to do some things. We know that he was taken down. But listen, there's going to come one in his place that I believe is going to be the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to, I believe, set up his reign from that particular city. And he will build it. It'll be a city like none other. And some believe that the description of Babylon could be really another city that embodies the spirit of ancient Babylon. I just tell you what I believe from my reading of the Scripture. I believe it's going to be, the ancient city is actually going to be rebuilt. And, some have even looked at the characteristics of Babylon. And if you look at them, both in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah has a lot more to say about Babylon. If you look at Jeremiah and you look at what's said in Revelation, it looks awful similar to the United States of America. Sure does. And there's some guys who have written books and said, is the United States mentioned in prophecy? And they've tried to draw, it's not mentioned by name, but they say, it seems to be tied up in Babylon. I don't know. All I can tell you is this. I know there's great similarities in the United States and the characteristics of Babylon that we see. But rather than get involved in such speculation, we should be more concerned with the fact of Babylon's sins and the consequences that she suffered in God's judgment of her sins. And let me ask this question in closing. If God judged Sodom, will He not judge those who exhibit the sins of Sodom? Yeah. Yes, He will. And if God judged Babylon, will He not judge those who exhibit the sins of Babylon? Yes, He will. And so we need to take heed. Our country needs to take heed. I believe our country is destined for a fall. I believe that's one reason why we don't see the United States mentioned in the Scriptures. I believe that already we are in the decline. They've already talked about how that Europe is on the rise. And, of course, in that area is where the political power will be during the time of the tribulation period, and how that we're on the demise. And, it wouldn't take very much to take us back to a Stone Age in our country. It really wouldn't. All you'd have to do is take one of those electromagnetic thermonuclear bombs and explode it, and everybody's cell phones wouldn't work, and their smartphones wouldn't work, and their TVs wouldn't work, and nothing electronic will work. What are you going to have to do? Well, you're going to have to learn to get by without it. That's what you're going to have to do. We could be turned into a third world country overnight. It could happen. It'd be a terrible time for it to happen. I hope that God allows us to be out of here before something like that happens. But listen. There's many folks that hate us in the world, hates the United States, and as wicked as the United States has become, we are ripe for the judgment of God. We are ripe for the judgment of God. Listen, let's don't be, we who are the people of God, let's be admonished from the passage of Scripture that we read tonight. There's a sister passage that we could take you to. That we are to come out from among them and be separate. Amen. There's a passage that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. We're to come out. We're not to be like the world. Now, God's people were told to get out of Babylon. Well, I believe we ought to get out of the wickedness that's in our country. I'm not saying leave the country. I wouldn't want to go anywhere else. But that don't mean we have to partake of our wickedness, right? What we need to do is we don't need to be drawn in as the people of God. And so many people who name the name of Christ are being drawn in today into the wickedness of this world. And so let's don't, because God's going to judge. And we need to make sure that we are what we ought to be for the Lord. Amen. I wonder, are you saved tonight? Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? He is coming back. He's coming back to take us home to be with Him. And then we're going to see in chapter number 19, He's going to be coming at the end. That's at the beginning of the tribulation. Those of us who know Him, we're going to be up and out of here. And then we're going to come back with Him. We'll take a look there in chapter number 19 and see not only the marriage of the Lamb taking place, but we'll see the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and us coming in and Him getting a great victory. Boy, what a time it will be. But listen, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're not going to partake in any of that. You won't be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You won't be at the rapture of the church. You go through this time of tribulation if you're living. You'll be judged by God. You'll not be at the marriage of the Lamb. You'll not come back with Him riding in victory. It's time to, folks, if you're not saved, it's time to get saved. If you are saved, it's time to get right with God. Let's get back to the basics. And in the Word of God, and where God would have us to be at. Amen. Hey, let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for the scripture that is so simple and so plain. And Lord, that we can see, and we don't really have to understand everything about Babylon. All we need to know is how wicked that this Babylon is. We can see her sins, and we can see around us a sense in which our own dear country is made drunk on the things that are that we see here regarding Babylon. And it's going to be even so much more in the tribulation period time. And God, just help us as your people to come out from among this world and be separate and live separate and show folks that that Christ is living in us and we're not like them. We're not being prideful in that, but we're saying that Jesus Christ has changed us. He's made us new again. He's given us new life, and we are to live for God and not live for ourselves and not live for this world. Lord, help us to have our priorities right. And Lord, not have gold at the top of the list, but have souls of men at the top of our list. Just help us tonight, we pray. And if there be one that's lost, help them to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. But Lord, help us who are your people, Lord, to get right with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.